We hear three scriptures this morning in three voices, and they are a weaving together of NRSV and the Message translations. Isaiah hears God mourning.
They're busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right living people, law abiding, God honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side.
The people ask God,
why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?
Isaiah hears God's lament.
The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off humility? Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to free the oppressed, to break every yoke? What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your house, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage.
Isaiah invites the people to seek God's ways.
Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about one another's sins, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again.
The psalmist offers the same invitation to rejoice in God's ways of justice and peace.
Blessed are the gracious, merciful, and righteous. They rise in the darkness to light the way for one another. Those who are generous conduct their affairs with justice. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in God. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. They lavish gifts on the poor, a generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life, a beautiful life. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. There's nothing to the dreams of the wicked, nothing.
And what does Jesus say to the people?
You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything and will end up in the garbage.
Here's another way to put it.
You're here to be light. Bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God.
One more thing.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill.
I invite the young people to come forward, and as they do, we will all join together in singing verse 1 of This Little Light of Mine, page 401. You even know the motions. Jordan knows the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. So we read that in Matthew. Jesus told us to let our lights shine, and then we all sang it, and I wonder if you have any idea what it's supposed to mean. Is it like turning on a flashlight and shining it on somebody, or is it something else? It's okay if you're not ready to say it out loud, because I have a book that might give you some ideas. The words are all the same words that we just sang. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. How is his light shining on this page, do you think? Maybe. Well, let's see what's happening on the next page. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This one's kind of mysterious. He's looking out a window. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I bet you can see something here. What's he doing? They might be making cookies, but what's he doing? What's that? What do we call that? Hugging. Hugging. Could hugging be a way to let your light shine, maybe? Okay. So now what? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. What's he doing here? He's outside. What's that? He's waving at his neighbor. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. What about this one, Henry? I think you can see what's happening. What happened to her bag? She dropped. Yeah, and so now what's he doing? Picking up? If you help somebody pick up the groceries they dropped on the ground, could that be a way of letting your light shine? Okay. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. And so now what is he doing? What's that motion? High five. He's high-fiving all these guys that are sitting outside the store. And what's this guy doing? He looks sad. This guy over here in the blue t-shirt looks sad. So I wonder what's going to happen. He sees him.
He sees the boy who looks sad.
Oh. So what's he going to do? What do you think? Does the boy in the blue t-shirt still look sad? It's hard to tell, but you're about to know. Okay, now you can see his face. Is he sad now? No. Because the boy letting his light shine invited him to come play basketball. So these are a whole book of ways that you can let your light shine. Hug your mom, wave at the neighbor, help somebody who dropped something pick it up, Give high fives to all the people you see. Say hi to them. And then when you notice somebody is sad, see if they want to play. See if you can find a way to cheer them up. Does that sound like letting your light shine? All right. And one really easy way that he did on almost all those pictures is he smiled. Do you know how much that lights us up here when we see you smile? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Whoa, those are a lot of choices that you have to make, huh? About whose team to be on. Are you going to smile? Okay. Verse 2 of This Little Light of Mine, we're all going to sing it together. You know the words, I bet, but this is the everywhere I go verse. So everywhere this boy went, he was letting his light shine. So let's sing verse 2. God, thank you for making this place a place where we can come together and smile at each other and light up each other's days. Open our eyes to all of the chances we have to be the light in somebody's day. And on a day when we are feeling sad, give someone else the inspiration to cheer us up too. We pray all these things in the way that Jesus taught us. Amen. All right, while you go back to your seats, we're going to sing verse 1 one more time. This winter has been mild in central Pennsylvania, but it has been seriously gray, gloomy, to match many of our moods. So today's scriptures, and you can see all four always listed on the back of the bulletin at the bottom, today's scriptures are a gift in the gloom of winter because they all bring light. From Isaiah 58, is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to free the oppressed, to break every yoke? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. From Psalm 112, blessed are the gracious, merciful, and righteous. They rise in darkness to light the way for one another. From Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Jesus goes on to compare this light to a lamp, which we should not hide under a bushel. Both Isaiah and the psalmist are talking about the light of dawn, sunrise, when light breaks into the darkness. In these short days of February, in the gray of midwinter, in the gloom of cruelty and conflict all around us, we hear these sacred promises together. Light breaking forth like the dawn, lighting our way for this journey, being light for one another. It's almost like someone planned it. And of course they did. These are the lectionary texts for this Sunday, for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, which means they are always read together in early February every 3 years, and the people listening are probably living in gloomy winter with gray skies and short days, unless you're one of millions of churchgoers in the southern hemisphere where it's summer right now. But we use the Revised Common Lectionary, which was developed by North Americans. So the gift of sunrise was chosen for us for this day to give us hope, I believe. Sun and light are literally and metaphorically hopeful because all life on this planet needs sunlight. And sun and light are hopeful in at least one unique way for Christians who look for that star in the night sky to guide them to the light of God or the Son of God in late December when the days are as short as ever. As I've contemplated these passages through the week, I have found all sorts of wisdom in the light of sunrise. And in fact, I'm so moved by the power of these scriptures for us in these times. I think the metaphors are so rich that I'm going to try to share it with you in a way that you'll actually remember. So I've got slides. And I'll read everything that I've put on the slides. That's preaching to the choir. But if you can see them to read along, I hope they'll engage you in this wisdom of sunrise and scripture. I'll tell you my 5 points, and then I'll talk about each one. Number one, sunrise is dependable, even though we don't always see the sun itself. Number two, sunrise is universal. It happens everywhere on Earth. Number three, sunrise is particular. It happens differently in different places. Number four, sunrise shakes up our perspective because we are actually the ones spinning so that the sun looks like it's rising. And number five, sunrise calls us to balance because it is always balanced by sunset. So back to that first one, sunrise dependable even if we can't see it. Even on the grayest day when we never see the sun itself, daytime has returned. It would take a lot longer to get a sunburn, and the tomatoes will not ripen, but even cloudy days are daytime. We do have sunlight, even if we can't see the sun. So I wonder, can we find hope when good news is not splashed across the headlines? Can we find hope without any comforting words on the lips of our leaders? It doesn't feel as good. Yesterday, I turned my face into the morning sun, and truly, I felt more alive than I had all week. Sunrise is powerful. It is joyful. And still, as people of faith, as people of perseverance, we must find hope on gray days and sunny days, with or without sunshine on our shoulders, with or without the warm kiss of sunshine on our cheeks, with or without Pennsylvania senators voting how we hoped they would. We are strengthened not only by sunlight, as we read in Colossians. You are strengthened with God's glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the one who has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to God's people who live in the light. And since the sun rises, whether or not we can see it, our hope can rise whether or not we see any results. With or without sunshine on our shoulders, with or without visas restored for the people who have been trapped in U.S. airports, we can choose to live in the light as God's people who welcome strangers and care for those in need. As Margaret Wheatley writes, hope is not related to accomplishment. It is quite simply a dimension of being human. To feel hope, we don't have to accomplish anything. Hope is always right there in our very being, our human spirits, our fundamental human goodness. Number two, universal. The sun rises for everyone on this planet, everyone in this solar system, in fact. So I guess it's not officially universal, is it? It is solar systematic. Thank you. If we read ahead in Matthew 5, we get to Jesus' instruction to love our enemies, to be like our Creator God who, quote, makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So the sun rises on the evil and the good and the rest of us who usually do good but often mess up. The sun rises on gassy planets like Jupiter and rocky planets like Mercury and our planet where all of life needs sunlight. So the sun rises where its praises are sung, and it rises where no one notices. So we can learn from the sun's wisdom, too, that we could shine on people who say thank you when we are compassionate, and we can shine on them when they don't notice it. We can shine with love toward ourselves and one another when we're doing good and when we're doing terribly. And it sounds like the psalmist's call from this morning, "Blessed are the gracious, merciful, and righteous. They rise in the darkness to light the way for one another. Their hearts are firm, secure in God. They lavish gifts on the poor, a generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life, a beautiful life. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. We can be sure as the sunrise, shining on one another universally and finding hope in light beyond a sunny day, finding hope beyond getting what we wanted, a generosity that goes on and on and on. Number 3, sunrise is particular. Because even though the sun rises universally, it also rises particularly. It is unique in every place and each day. I bet you've noticed that the sun comes up at a different time each day. Sometimes the school bus comes when it's dark outside, and other days it's light when you're getting on the bus. And maybe you've been somewhere where the sun seems to come up all at once, but other places the sun seems to rise gradually. I'll say more about that in a minute, but first I should be more particular about my language. Because what do you consider sunrise? When light emerges on the horizon, when a sliver of the sun appears, when you can see the whole sun above the horizon. So officially, astronomically, sunrise is only the instant when a sliver of the sun first appears on the horizon. The light before all of that is called twilight. In the morning, it's dawn. In the evening, it's dusk. Then sunrise happens for that one instant. And then the sun has officially risen, even if all you can see is still a sliver. Astronomically, it has risen. But guess what I learned preparing this sermon? Sunrise isn't just particular, it is complicated. Thanks to refraction, and Jamie, sorry if I get this wrong, but thanks to refraction, light shining through the particles in our atmosphere, the sun seems to appear on the horizon before it actually does. An average of 34 arc minutes before the sun has reached the horizon, it looks like it has. Wow. Now, arc minutes are angular measurements. They're not like minutes on a clock. So I asked my astrophysicist uncle, and he explained how to convert between arc minutes and time minutes. And it turns out the difference between our visual experience of sunrise and the actual experience, or the actual sunrise, is about 2 minutes. Definitely an approximation. There are many factors to toss in. But as Uncle Stan says, it's good enough for ecclesiastical work. I know it's complicated, and you might be wondering why I'm telling you all this, but here's why. Those of us with clear eyesight assume that what we see is what actually is. Those 2 minutes, or those 34 arc minutes, are a grand reminder that our vision is limited. Truth is more complicated than what any one of us can see. Using our eyes, we can only see from where we're standing or where we're sitting. None of us will ever see the sunrise like this. from the International Space Station. But thank God we have figured out how to collaborate, how to share, and so we get to see beyond our own eyes. The sunrise is different depending on where you see it from. Not only does it come at a different time each day, it does take a different amount of time depending on where you are. Isaiah hears God's longing that people would be sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Your light shall break forth like the dawn. That is the line that turned me toward all this astronomical research, actually, because I wondered, how long is dawn? Closer to the equator, dawn is shorter, about 20 minutes between that first hint of light and the full sunrise. And at the poles, dawn, and therefore dusk, can last weeks. 20 minutes to weeks. Isaiah lived pretty close to the equator. So maybe 20 minutes after the people shared their food, clothes, homes, and time, their light broke forth like the dawn? Maybe, but it depends on what we think the sunrise means there, metaphorically. Is it hope, gratitude? Because those feelings can come pretty quickly when we are sharing what we have. But if we read that our light will break forth like the dawn and think that means the whole world is going to change, or our country is going to change, or our town is going to change, or even this church is going to change, 20 minutes won't be enough. Not only does dawn take a different amount of time depending on the latitude that you're sitting or standing at, dawn takes a different amount of time depending on the time of year. These days, when hope may seem like it is taking forever to break into our world, it's like we're living in the Arctic Circle during winter and waiting days or even weeks to see the sun. So that's why we can't wait for hope to act. We go back to the basics, the greatest commands, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Do it in the dark and in the light, in the winter and in the summer, when the world seems charmed and when the world seems cursed. Number four, sunrise revolutionizes our perspective because the sun is not actually rising. The Earth's movement in relation to the sun makes sunrise and sunset. But calling it sunrise and sunset is left over from the days when humans believed everything was orbiting the Earth. It's like a whole culture of toddlers who assumed the universe revolves around them. And that was only 400 years ago. So imagine 400 years from now, what people are going to think about us and say, how could they have ever believed that? So architect Buckminster Fuller suggested that instead of sunrise and sunset, we should call it sunsight and sunclipse. Those terms never caught on, but they teach us, because if we can only see hope in relation to ourselves, if we assume the sun is actually rising around us, we're missing the big picture. If we can only believe in hope if it's bursting forth right in front of our eyes, we're going to miss so much good news, because it is always sunrise somewhere. The dawn is truly always breaking forth somewhere. So this map shows where the sun is supposed to be at 11:24 this morning. I just guessed when I was putting this together that I'd get to this point in the sermon around 11:24. The sun right now is rising in parts of Alaska and some of the Pacific Islands. And by the time we head downstairs for lunch, the sun will be rising in Japan. Maybe you don't see much hope these days, but maybe hope is breaking forth like the dawn somewhere else. So do what you know is right, whether or not you can see the results. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. God's view is so much bigger. Even though our sun is not moving around the earth to make a sunrise, our sun is moving. In fact, it's taking our whole solar system moving together, pulled through the Milky Way galaxy. Our solar system is one of billions, billions of solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy. We're all orbiting in this spiral. And each of those billions of solar systems has its own sun, with its own sunrises and sunsets, or sunsets and sunclipses. I cannot wrap my mind around that, but I can pause in awe and gratitude to be included in this dazzling creation. And finally, number five, sunrise calls for balance. Sunrise comes with sunset every time, just like inhaling comes with exhaling every time. God loves balance, I believe. In our scripture's first story of creation, God conceives day and night together and calls them good. The balance between night and day is not a balance of evil and good. We often want to call darkness evil and light good, but that is toddler thinking again, and we can grow out of it. The balance between night and day is the balance between rest and work. Night is God's invitation for us to rest, to practice Sabbath and restoration. Lord knows we need to believe in rest in these chilly, gloomy, sad days. The balance between night and day is the balance between mystery and clarity. What a genius divine design. We can see it without understanding it. But we do like to figure things out. We are blessed with curiosity. Yet knowing everything is not our deepest purpose. We were not created to discover everything about creation. Live into a little mystery and keep working on the basics. Let your light shine through kindness and generosity without knowing just how your light will impact this world. And as we spin toward spring equinox, our days are getting longer, thank God, because there is a lot of justice to do and kindness to love and humble journeying with God. The days are getting longer. Our work is ramping up. Our clarity is amplified. We still need rest. We still have mystery. But we are getting more sun for such a time as this. As Paul wrote to the Colossians nearly 2,000 years ago, as you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Creator who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful. Amen.